an opponent for the first 2 years says that he played a key decision-making role. And the second 2 years, the administration under my leadership. What was the situation of that government when my administration took over? We had a Medicaid program that 22,000 people had been removed from its services and still had a $5 million deficit. Clearly, mental health programs were not being funded. All of the services had been brought to a halt, a slow but grinding halt. And yet that government still faced a $38 million deficit. We had 8,000 school children, only 8,000 school children, being served on a free lunch program. And yet federal funds were being returned to the federal government for lack of use. What has taken place in the interim the last 2 years since our administration has taken over leadership of state government? The 22,000 people have been restored to the Medicaid program. The $5 million deficit has been eliminated, and the program is now operating in the black. And over 22,000 additional people have been placed on this roll.
Yes, that's right.
In addition to that, the $38 million deficit has been eliminated, and we have a $33 million surplus. I made a pledge that I would restore the government to operating properly.
Governor Mandel, time is up. Now we move to Mr. Blair in the second division, Gray Epstein.
Thank you, Mr. Sickle. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Throughout this campaign, I have tried to talk about some of the issues that I think are important to the people of Maryland. I think that's what you expect of a candidate, whether you be governor or a candidate for governor. In the course of doing this, I have stated my position as clearly, concisely, and I hope as forcefully as I could. And I challenge Governor Mandel to talk about some of these same issues. It is my opinion that Governor Mandel has not done this. For example, I have stated my position on abortion clearly. The governor, to the best of my knowledge, has indicated I vetoed a bill last year. Some bills will be introduced this year, and I may sign one, but I don't know what his position is, his personal position. I have stated a very clear position on aid to parochial schools. I am opposed to it, but I would give a tax break to the 132,000 students and the parents, at least, who are paying some of the bills for that education. I'd ask the governor what his position is, and to the best of my knowledge, he has not taken one. The third thing is busing. I have stated very clearly that I do not approve of busing solely to achieve a racial balance, busing outside the neighborhood. Governor Mandel attended the Southern Governors Conference last year and was a leader in opposition to a resolution which did just what I said I approve of. This year, he did not vote on it because he returned to Maryland. I again don't know this position, and I don't think the people of Maryland do. And the third thing, or the fourth thing rather, is the increase in the state sales tax. This was increased by Governor Mandel one-third or some $63 million last year. I oppose that. I don't think that's a good tax. I think it throws a disproportionate burden on the fixed income person.
15 seconds, okay.
And I would like to change that into the graduated income tax. I don't know that the governor has taken a position on that. The point is that we are now on stage together. This is an opportunity for him to take positions on these and other questions.
And your time is up.
Thank you, Will.
Now, Dr. Merkel, you're in the third position for our election. Thank you, Mr. Stickley, Mr. Collins,
W.M.A.R.
Fellow friends of Maryland, I come to this gubernatorial campaign in an urgent sense of duty to lend my talent, my time, my life if necessary, to attempt to stem the peril which is overtaking American society, not only in Maryland, but throughout the United States. Coming over here this evening, I spoke with a cab driver named Tom Jackson, who told me to my amazement that there have been areas in Baltimore City where cab drivers will not carry a fare. Not necessarily that they are so fearful themselves, but because the police also will not go into that area after dark. This apparently has been corrected, but for a long period of time, these gray areas did exist, according to Mr. Jackson. This situation with law and order reflects the situation with every other phase can fact up about society. After 40 years of what gentlemen of this type have praised as progress, if this is progress, where we do not have the freedom of our own speech, where bankruptcy stares us in the face, I am against progress. I left my hospital and my medical practice, a great personal sacrifice, to undertake the task of bringing the message of our power and of the constructive answer that the American Party offers to the people of Maryland. 15 seconds. I'd like to point out that the real choice in this election is not a three-way race, but Merkel versus, no offense, gentlemen, Brandel. Mr. Blair and Mr. Mandel are parts of the two-headed, one-bodied monster that's run this state for over a generation. Time is up. The third school has never given the vote of the choice.
Time is up. Now we'll go back in the same order, returning to you, Governor Mandel.
Thank you, Dave. My Republican opponent has said that I have not taken positions on issues. It's really amazing because the very four items that he mentioned, each issue on the abortion bill, age-appropriate schools, busing, he has taken exactly the same position that I made very clear during the last 6 months. On the abortion bill, his position was exactly the same. There wasn't any difference. On age-appropriate schools, I said that some aid is necessary. We can't escape the fact that we will have to do something if the Supreme Court says that the state can age-appropriate schools, if it is constitutional. We spoke about the Southern Governors Conference, where I took a position. I took a position because the resolution there was not against busing, which I said very clearly there and was reported in the newspaper, and I'll be glad to furnish him a copy, that I said that busing was not working. It did not work, it would not work, and it was not the answer to the problem. The resolution was directed as an anti-Supreme Court resolution, a Supreme Court against the Supreme Court. And I took a position with his three Republican colleagues, Governor Moore, Governor Peterson, and Governor Rockefeller, against that resolution. I'm very proud that I did. In addition to that, as far as taxes are concerned, he was in a decision-making role we claimed so often in the Republican administration that when he came in office, gave us the greatest tax increase in the history of the state of Maryland, $120 million tax increase, and ended up 2 years later with a $38 million deficit. And that he inherited. Those are the issues. I agree. And those are the answers.
Okay, Governor Mandel, and now back to you, Mr. Blair.
Thank you, Mr. Pickles. I'm ready to respond, if I may, to those four points and then go on to something else. This is the first time that I've heard Governor Mandel state what his position is on abortion, and I gather that he is agreeing with the position that I've set forth. I'm not aware that he's ever issued a statement before this time. On the matter of state aid to parochial schools, what the governor just said is that some form of assistance is needed. He has not taken the position at what time. And I don't know, and I don't think you in the viewing audience would know now whether we're talking about direct aid or indirect aid or a tax break. In the matter of busing, my statement still stands. And that was my position. I do not know today what his position is. And on the sales tax, the governor has talked about the previous administration and the tax increase under that administration. What I'm talking about is the disproportionate burden that is being thrown on you, the fixed income and working men. Based on the one-third income tax, excuse me, sales tax increases next. Now, what the governor has just said is that the Agnew administration wasn't very good. I think the record refutes that very clearly. The administration reform is an administration that reinvigorated the institutions of government. It did great things for schools. It started kindergarten. It started law enforcement agency on the state level. They put $15 million additional into local police protection. It did a number of things. So I don't think that record can be refuted. But I would add in closing that the increase in the sales tax that you were talking about has a corresponding increase in expenditures under Governor Mandel. When he said he's done, comes out into a percentage figure of 18% increase in the cost of government in the state of Maryland every year he's been in office. That is the lowest percent.
10 seconds,
I'm finished.
All right, I'm sorry to say this for a question.
All right,
again. And now, Dr. Merkel, if you will.
Exactly, Dave. Substantially, my advances with regard to the lack of choice in Maryland has been substantiated by this gentleman. I'd like to now get on the subject of constructive answers. We have a platform included in this folio, which is some 25 pages, the result of detailed study and analysis of the issues, constructive, conservative answers, including the use of the best of the old and the new. But this material is not before the people of Maryland, and I can tell you why. The Evening Sun this week ran a two-thirds editorial page comparison of these two gentlemen as candidates, without mention on that page of the third-party candidates. From another local newspaper, I have a picture recently, Enterprise Crawl Poll, showing Mr. Mandel and Mr. Blair. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't editorializing, this isn't news gathering, this is a fascination of your feelings. I have the highest commendation for the content of Mr. Agnew's attack on the press and the media. I don't agree with his verbiage at times, and I suspect that he's a dog robber for Mr. Nixon and the Republican Party, which is one face for conservatives and the other for so-called moderates or liberals. But this is a fascination of your right to the vote. We are prepared to give you the information that we have, but we cannot get it to you through the public office that the news media should exercise.
Yes, I'm taking it, sir.
I thank you, David.
Okay, now to our questions here, and we'll begin with my colleague, Judge Thomas. The gentleman in this station recently completed a public opinion poll. The result of that poll was that a cross-section release of the community is concerned with Khan as a number one priority. If you like this, then we'd like to know what, if anything you will do that is not being done now, to suppress crime. And let's go in the same way. Governor,
I think the answer to the problem on crime, I think the state of Maryland is well advanced in this field. I think we have increased the amount of funds made available to every subdivision and every municipality to fight crime. I think funds have been furnished to the major police departments to bring them up to date, bring their equipment up to date, to increase the salary so that the personnel will be increased. And I think the proof of this is the fact that in Baltimore City, for the first time, you have a total police force, more people, in fact, than they have on their roster. They've been able to hire them because of the updating and because of the increased money. But this isn't the answer. The answer is not enforcement alone. You have to have a total package. You've gone from the enforcement problem to the court to the supervisory problem. We've done an awful lot in that area already in the last 2 years. In fact, we have a unique program that we started in Maryland. One of the key problems is the fact that after a man was arrested, after the courts had tried him, and he was sent to jail, he was then released without any supervision, which he served his full time. We passed legislation, which is the first in the country, that says that every prisoner must have complete supervision when he is released from prison, so that he can go back into the community and be supervised during that very period when he is most susceptible to getting back into trouble.
Governor Mandel, in the interest of fairness, I think you explored the topic very thoroughly. Let's move with the same question to Mr. Blair.
Thank you, Dave. I think we have essentially the machinery we need, and in that sense I agree with the governor. What we have to do is make it work a little better. You have the question of rehabilitation, prison reform. Unfortunately, the statistics I read in Maryland are right. We're sending about two-thirds of our people through a revolving door. We're not getting to them that way. I think we can do a better job there. Certainly, we can do some in the master plan side of fighting crime, marshaling all the state resources through the Governor's Commission on Law Enforcement and Administration of Justice. I would certainly add senior trials, which is part of the Administration of Justice, not only the prosecution, but the trial itself. And I think building more confidence in our courts than we have had reason to build lately here. The last thing is a strong attack on drug traffic, not just for the social consequences, but what it does to crime and how it fuels it.
A good suggestion in that poll, which we conducted to all the leaders across the state, crime was, did get the top priority. In the number six position was narcotics, but in each case narcotics related to crime. Now, Dr. Merkel, will you address yourself, sir, as to your notice?
Yes, delighted, David. People may or may not remember that at the Pauper hearing, when some patriotic citizens took certain materials before that hearing about the state of crime in Maryland that is associated with politics, Mr. Kefauver suddenly went on vacation for a month or two, and the Maryland senator, his friends on the committee, took over the hearing and immediately put them into private session. And they came out sometime later with reports that Maryland was shot free. So on the face of the political machine in Maryland, there is no crime problem. However, we know that Baltimore is the third-ranking city, I believe, in the United States in its crime. We know the situation is as bad here with narcotics or worse. A young man from Vietnam told me a week ago that he cannot take his young lady friend any place in the city of Baltimore but without fear of violence or narcotics. Narcotics is the issue at the crux of the problem. At the other end is godliness, to which we must return if we will rescue our country. But the narcotic question must be faced as it is. As long as we feed the machine, and feed the gang by saying, get the big boy, leave the little fellow alone, leave the market alone, and we'll get the little fellow. All we're doing is make a perfect setup for political payoff. The only way to stop the narcotics is to dry up the market. And this permissive nonsense in the face of so many addicts who tell you that they start with the hashish and go on to the harder drugs, and they're now trying to repeal all the laws against the hashish, is incredible folly in which we must either be blind or being led by our enemies to our own destruction.
Thank you, Dr. Merkel. Let's move to another area. Good. How about the courts and the court reform bill? And you just heard you probably be part of the governor and you have a gentleman. One of the controversial proposed amendments, constitutional amendments on the ballot for November 3rd, is a revised or new method of selecting judges. The governor, thank you, has been very closely related to this problem for more than 15 years. Many of the complaints is that it takes the power to elect judges from the people and give it to a few politicians. How would you defend your proposed constitutional amendment on court?
Good. As a matter of fact, it doesn't make the governor seem like it.
This is what you couldn't say.
This is, of course, not true, because every judge today is appointed by the governor. However, there is needed change in the system. I don't think anyone will deny that. I think this need for change has been very evident in the last number of years. Back in 1954, I introduced legislation to make the change that we felt was necessary in the system. Today, it's become even more of a problem because the men in the legal profession have reached the point where they don't want to sacrifice their profession, their practice that they've built up over the years, and have to run for elective office after serving a year and a half or two. And if they lose that elective office, they have no practice to go back to. They have lost all that they've built up. So there is reluctance. I know in appointing judges in the short time that I've had that opportunity, that I've had a number of the most prominent lawyers in the state tell me that they are no longer interested in judicial appointments because they could not afford to let that practice go and run. So we felt that change was necessary. Change has been attempted over the years. Various systems have been suggested. None have been successful in getting through the General Assembly. We drew up the proposal that now is pending, and that is that we follow the federal system, that the governor, as the president does, would nominate a man to be a judge, that the Senate would confirm that nomination. This follows the federal system that has been so successful over the years. And here's what. And this man would serve, and this is an important feature.
Mm-hmm.
We put an extra feature in there to protect that man, in that there would have to be public hearings on this confirmation. There could not be any hearings just before committees, closed committees. And secondly, that this man would have to be renominated after his term expires, so there would be no possibility of any political maneuver.
Mr. Black.
Yes, sir. I agree very much. The change is needed. That's where the agreement ends. I think the point is very much in the wrong direction. For two reasons. One is it has no constitutionally created selection process whereby the governor receives the recommendations of the commission that reviews the applicant.
A review bird are well thought about. But I think the real key here is one which Charles Preston suggests in my view. The people will no longer have a right to pass judgment on the performance of a judge, whether he should stay or whether he should not. And I think that's very fundamental. What will happen under Governor Mandel's proposal is that the Senate of Maryland will confirm the nomination made by the governor, and the people will not have a voice in it. That, to me, is very fundamental, and I think it's in the wrong direction altogether.
Yeah. Let's put a Dr. Urkel, and then we'll come back to you, Governor Mandel. By all means, elect all judges and make sure that they are subject to recall by referendum. That's perfect. That's perfect. That's good. All right, now back to you, Governor.
I think that what my Republican opponent has said is not quite factual. It doesn't remove at all from the public the opportunity, because it puts the spotlight on the very people that the public elects, the governor and the state senators, to make sure that the men who are nominated to that position are the type of men who the public wants, because they stand responsible in the spotlight of public opinion to make sure that they're the proper men. And secondly, it also provides for judicial disability for the court, the Court of Appeals, who would have a right to remove the judge at any time if he is not conducting his office properly. Today, a judge cannot be removed, only by being impeached.
Mr. Blair,
yes, a very short statement here, because what the governor has just said might leave a misunderstanding in the minds of some people. The point is, he's not saying anything contrary to this, but the people will no longer, under his plan, have a right to elect or pass judgment on the judge in office. They will rely on the government to do that, and the state senate. And I think there's a vast difference, and we should understand it.
There's a difference of pants from this week between the two.
This is the last statement on the subject. We do need to move on. I'd like to just answer that very shortly and say that when my Republican opponent was a member of the General Assembly, he introduced legislation on this very question that removes from the public the right to elect their judges. He introduced legislation that would require the judge to run just against his record.
Now, I think he should have.
The key words there will run against his record. Therefore, the people, under the proposal that I made, which Governor Mandel alluded to, is saying, yes, I did propose such a thing, and under that, the people would have had the right to elect or pass upon that judge in an election.
Gentlemen, you have less than 3 minutes.
That's the very thing that the people voted out, that is present in people's court under our judicial system, that the people voted out the 6 years ago. They didn't want this partial election of a man running against the judge. We have less than 2 minutes. Let's get to some political issues. Governor Mandel, is the Democratic Party a cohesive force under your leadership? I understand you very well from these days. I think the Democratic Party is more cohesive than it's ever been. The Democratic Party is not a wealthy party, nor do we have the kind of money that you would have got a newspaper. However, I think the Democratic Party is in sound condition, and I'm very happy with it.
Yes, Mr. Burr, I understand the two running in debt. It's just for that
part. Oh,
it is. Such something as much as $80,000.
I think it's closer to 90. We are running in debt without any question.
Where will you get the money?
I think it's like,
where will you get the money?
You need to pay the debt?
Yeah,
we'll, of course, we'll get it all the way that we can through legitimate fundraising. We hope to have it, of course, before the campaign is open, but that will make many more things possible.
If you get it, would the President Nixon or Vice President Agnew come in to help you?
Well, I feel sure that somebody will come in. I would think it would be the Vice President to help.
All right, now let's move back to work. Any problems with finances?
Not really. Of course, the finances are determined by the resistance of the voter, so to speak, or the willingness of the voter to accept your cause. And I would say that in terms of dollars per voter, you remember a friend, Mr. Roberts, I think, spent $87 and got 50,000 votes because he's a noble, good man. I think that I don't measure up to Mr. Roberts, but we're running somewhat close to him with regard to a little bit of money that we need in order to get a favorable answer from that.
Dr. Merkel, you get money from the American Party as led by Governor George Wallace, vice versa.
He gets money from you?
That is the Wallace Party, the American Party?
Out of the States, no.
Within the States, any of the funds are put in the other direction.
Mr. Gray, I guarantee you a moment ago that Governor Mandel is guilty of record spending that they kept an implementation of the period and the debt. On what do you really say?
I'm basing it on this. The average growth of income through taxation and other sources is about 10-12%. Governor Mandel's unique increase has been 18. We're going to go through it about
here. Time is going to balance the budget. We're bound to budget. Time is this suggests that on November the 3rd, no matter what your political persuasion, you go to the polls. I'm going to share the news watch team, Gary Rogers, Dave Collins, and myself for the full election report on Channel 2. Thank you and good night.
Thank you, Doug.
Face to Face has presented the candidates for governor.